topic. Did anyone get a WhatsApp from me yesterday with a bit of a picture? Just wave at me if you got a WhatsApp. And somebody, sometimes I might ask you to join WhatsApp. Please don't feel pressured. Just trying to communicate you. And then did anyone get texts as well? And so we did that. We did a little bit of Facebook. Just got the word out of there. Now sometimes you could be on WhatsApp and you could be on texting as well. And then you might get two messages. Please don't be offended. I'm not trying to harass you. I'm just trying to let you know, because I want you to come prepared and I want you to be excited about God's house. Somebody corny in Australia once said, I don't believe in weekends, I believe in strong starts. It's a bit naff, isn't it? However, Sunday ought to be the greatest day of the week. And how we live has a lot to do with how we our perspective on life. I believe that when people meet with God, then something shifts in our hearts and in our lives. God's awesome. God's bigger than an elephant, bigger than a blue whale. He is incredible. And when we come into his presence and when we just even if one of the flippers of a blue whale kind of slapped you, you'd know about it. And we ought to have an experience where we know God is here and God's touching us and God is moving in our hearts. And that's absolutely central to Bible Christianity. I'm going to talk to you from the Bible. I'm going to talk to you from the kind of Jesus instructions and notebooks and what's been given. But at the very same time, I'm expecting God by the Holy Spirit to touch your life, to speak to your heart, to inspire you. And to you might find sometimes, do you ever find this? You've like got a notebook and the guy at the front or the lady at the front is speaking and you're getting all these other notes. You're writing something else that isn't what they're saying. Has that ever happened to you? Because God is kind of using what's being said to speak to your heart, and you start to get revelation that way. So let's just pray as we approach the Word of God and talk about an incredibly important area. Father, we're so thankful for your love for us. Thankful for all the good things that we see around us, our band, our music, people in the life of this church, our community. And we're thankful that today we have this time in your presence and this time to hear from your Spirit and to learn from your Word. And we just ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and invade this place with your presence and confirm your Word with signs and wonders following in our lives, in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say, good.
Good.
Awesome. So we're talking about winning your spiritual war. That was the diagram, and I'm picking up a little bit from last week, and I felt like it would be important for us to look at this topic. Last week, we talked about breakthrough. Everyone say breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
And so I want you to, be here as often as you can. I want you to grab the podcast and try and follow, because we've got a stream of thought going here. And last week we talked about this matter of this year being a year of breakthrough. I felt like before God, as I'm praying, I felt like change and breakthrough, and that God wants to do some radical things in our lives. Now, God is a very smart God. He's very wise. He sees the end from the beginning. Nothing's a mystery to him. And he has purposes and he has plans that are incredible for our lives. So for us to kind of become aware of those things, to tune in to what he is saying to us, like a father would communicate to a child, like you'd tell your little daughter over there, Scarlett, who's growing up, that you'd help her to understand what to suck and what not to suck and what to hit and what not to hit, and you communicate with them. Well, God's a really good communicator, and so we're in this month in January, where we're talking about the purposes and plans of God and his dreams, and Carrie's going to talk next week about prophetic families. It's really going to be an awesome message. I know a little bit about it. And then the week after that, which is the 29th, I'm going to have a Sunday that we're going to dedicate very much to encountering the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about some of these areas of dreams and open it up so that the Holy Spirit can actually speak to us. And so that could go kind of any one of directions, but God's presence and God's touch will be there. So I'm looking forward to that. I want you to book those things in. But I want to touch on a subject, and it'll probably have to, it'll go over 2 weeks, so I'll bring it in again at the beginning of Feb. But I want to talk about this matter of spiritual warfare. Has anyone ever heard that phrase before? Just lift your hand if you've heard the phrase spiritual warfare. Just lift it up. So most people will have, and most people will have some idea of what that means. But I want to talk through that. And, you know, I appreciated what Lucille and Owen and everybody was talking about faith this morning, you know. And, well, you just believe. And I like that. I love believing is awesome. But I also think that we need to understand what we're believing. And sometimes I think that in the church, if we're not careful, we can just say to people, oh, yeah, you just believe. And for the guys outside of the kingdom of God, the people that we're loving and reaching every week, that may make a limited amount of sense to them. I mean, what exactly does that mean? Well, you just believe. And I think sometimes in the church we can do that too. So I love a phrase a guy from New Zealand I know once used. He said, we need to have hearts of fire, clear mind and hearts of fire, I think was the way that he said it. And I think that's really important that we think clearly. If we're too, I mean, I'm all about being on fire, but it takes a little bit more than just being on fire to live a successful life for God. You do also have to think strategically. You have to understand what you're believing. But then on the other hand, you can't win any great victories in life without passion and fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to blend those two. That's kind of what's in my heart. So we're talking about winning your spiritual war. And I'm going to take us through a couple of things here. Number one, you have a calling and you have a destiny and you have an enemy, one in particular. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5 verse 8. And if you've got a Bible there, I want to encourage you to use your Bibles. And it might be electronic or whatever. Have a look there. See it in the pages. See it on the thing. Oh, I've put some passages on the screen, but some I haven't. But 1 Peter 5 verse 8 talks like this. It says, be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Your enemy, the devil. You've got an enemy. There is somebody, a person with his kind of cohort of friends, that is an enemy to your life, and that would, if he could, would just snuff your life out in pain and anguish with no apology and go on to the next person. I was going to put some images of Satan or the devil up on the screen. I was trying to look for something that describes a little bit of what he's like, but there is nothing. You know, all these people with horns and, you know, little tails and kind of red flashing eyes and all that stuff. But there is a personality, a person called Satan, and he is a horrific, horrific person. And I want you to get that, because sometimes Christians are a little bit, oh, poor old devil, you know, can't be that bad. He's worse than that bad. My grandmother died of cancer when I was a young teenager and a new believer. I've done a lot of funerals. I've done lots of, you know, worked with people. And you've probably seen people in pain. And you see the life drain out of them. And you know they're going. One of our very favorite people, one of our worship leaders in our church here, had cancer. She actually had it 3 times, beat it twice. She's in heaven now. She's singing. She's a good singer. But to see the life drain out of people and it guts you. It ought to. And the devil would love for you to think that somehow that's God. How can God let that happen? We're going to talk a little bit about that kind of thing. But let me tell you, that's not God. That's the devil. That's what he does. And he loves doing it. You know, he loves seeing people. He'll turn the knife. He'll make it hurt. He'll take you to hell like that if he could. And you need to understand. Now, we're going to talk because he doesn't have anywhere like the authority that you'd like, that he'd like you to think he has. But you need to understand that you do have an enemy. And the more you push toward God, the more you say yes to God. Everyone say yes.
Yes.
It's a great. The more you do that, the more you pray, like we did some praying and fasting this week, the more attention you will get from the devil. It's a real world out there. There's that spiritual world. So here's an example from the book of Acts, right? There's people that are oppressed or possessed by demonic forces, demons, demonic personalities, that are fallen angels that are doing the work of Satan, and that will either make people deaf, make people mute, make people lose their minds, do all kinds of whatever, that kind of that. Not to say that every case of dementia or mental illness is necessarily a demon, but that's the kind of thing they bring. And Paul learnt from Jesus, I guess. He saw the example of Jesus. Remember, Jesus had authority over demons, and he would command demons to come out of people. Remember that? And he's not pretending. He's not like, we're not in the new psychological age now where we discovered that it really wasn't a demon. The demons are really real. And a lot of our problems would be solved, not all of them. It's not the only thing in life, but a lot of our issues would be life if we just dealt with effectively demonic forces. And Paul did the same thing and would pray for people or really lay hands on people or command demons to come out. And then there were these sons of a priest, seven of them. The priest was called Sceva. And they saw this and they thought, this is pretty cool, like casting out devils. So they gave it a shot with a guy that had a demon. And they said, now we adjure you, or we're telling you, you demon, in the name of Jesus, the same Jesus that Paul preaches, come out. And the demon spoke out through the guy and he said, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And the man with the demon in him went crazy, ripped the clothes off all the people, you know, so you couldn't show it on a general news channel. And they all ran off, the seven of them. The point is that there is a real world there. There's authority in that world. But just giving it a shot doesn't work. You've got to know who you are, if I can put it that way. Does that make sense to you? Trying to minimize the kind of Christian terminology because sometimes we hear it and we don't actually cotton on to what we're saying. We have a certain position in the spiritual world. So that's a little introduction. You've got a calling, you have. You've got a destiny. And if the devil can't stop you meeting Jesus, that's the first thing he'll try and do. He'll just avoid any way if he can stop you, hinder you meeting Jesus. Once you meet Jesus, then he'll try and stop you getting water baptized. Once you get water baptized, he'll try and hinder you from getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Once you do that, he'll try and minimize your prayer life. He'll try and minimize your tithing. He'll try and wind back everything he can to make your life effective. And if he can't do that, he'll certainly try and derail you from the purpose God has for you. However, there's good news. Everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So everything in the world, the forces that go on in this earth, which for the most part are not under the authority of Jesus, and you can tell that because of the things that go on. If you're born of God, you overcome that. You're put in a position of victory. You're put in a position of winning. Your default is the battle has been won. I'm going to explain that to you. Can you see that verse there? And then I want you to understand this concept here as well, that Hosea is writing on behalf of God to the people, and he says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. They just don't know. And the devil will thrive on, mostly the devil thrives on keeping us or trying to keep us or us keeping ourselves ignorant of spiritual realities, of this whole spiritual life. Now you've got to understand, I'm focusing on this particular area of spiritual warfare. I'm going to talk about that and the armor of God. We're going to talk about that the next time we gather. We've got some really great things to touch on. But don't forget that there's also the natural side to life. Don't forget that. You know, sometimes I was reading in a clip somewhere, you know, this week about some Christian who's saying, like, you know, oh God, why do I always get speeding tickets? You know, and the truth is, you're always speeding. Like, it's not a spiritual thing. Some people, oh God, how come I can't seem to connect well with my children, and they're growing up and they're not listening to me? Well, probably if you didn't spend the time in the early days investing in building a relationship with them, because you were never there, then you're going to have trouble. That's just how it is. Now, God will help you deal with it, but you know, don't go running to God in that sense. And then also, you know, sometimes people, how come my life is so negative? How come everything seems to be going in a downward curve? Well, one of the things the Bible tells you is you're going to become who you hang around. The friends you choose, what you choose to do with your 24 hours in each day, and the people you choose to talk to, phone with, have a coffee with, have a beer with, they're going to influence you, and that you're going to go in that kind of direction. And it's not a matter so much that God is controlling this, as that, you know, we have responsibilities and we need to make good decisions. Are you hearing me today? Yeah. And so, but I wanted to balance things but getting back now into this area of spiritual war. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, some Christians, you'd get the impression, you know, that nothing's ever going to go wrong, that nothing's ever doesn't work. And I'm a very positive person. I believe God, and I have that perspective on life. But I also am aware that sometimes people's lives do get destroyed. I see Christians' lives, and it's not God's best, but they still, some of their lives really suck. Can I use that word?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if you and I are honest, there are days of our lives where we think, oh, gee, this life sucks a little bit. And it's not that God isn't with us, but, you know, we have to understand, we have to cope with that, and we have to understand here that destruction becomes because we don't know. But knowledge, act upon. One of the greatest rules of life, if you've never written it down, write that down. Knowledge and action brings results. True of every area of life. True spiritually. You've got to know what to do, and then you've got to do it. A lot of people sit in the dark in their life, and it all comes down to not that law. Knowledge and action brings results. We could be sitting here in the complete dark, and we could have done it for 10 years to the point where if someone came in and turned the lights on, we'd be scared. We'd feel like there's something wrong here because we're so used to the dark. We could be so used to living an ordinary life that when someone comes along or demonstrates or talks about a life of incredible blessing, it can scare us. We could almost resist it because it's so different to what we've experienced for so long. And we live with lack, or we live in the dark because of that law there, knowledge and action. You see, in our room here, if we were to turn all that bank of light switches off, we'd be in the dark, and you're going to need just those two things to switch the light on. You're going to need knowledge and action. Now, if you don't know where the light switches are, you'll be fumbling around like all this. You can act all you like, but until you know where they are, you're going to be in the dark. And then if you know where they are, they're just over there near that door, but you don't act, nothing's ever going to change. But when you know and you act, it's like magic. It's true spiritually. When you know what to do and then you act on it, results come automatically. Don't forget that now. Let's look a little bit at the particular aspects of spiritual warfare. So we're talking about engaging with a demonic force or forces that come against our lives. And if you've been around our church or our life for a while, you'll know that we try and walk down the middle of the road. We keep it pretty balanced. There are some things that this applies to and some things it doesn't apply to. But there's no question that there is an enemy, and that the more we push forward, as we pray and fast like we did this week, as we say, my God, we are going to reach these people, as we do that, there is an enemy, and that's the one thing he doesn't want. And he's not omnipresent like God. He's nothing like God, really. He's an angel that fell. An important angel, but he fell. But he's not God. There's God and nobody like him and nobody near him. It's not like God and the devil and they're having this. There's God. And when you get in God's team, you're on a winning team. But if you don't deal with this devil when he shows his head, when things come against you, and we're talking about in the context of having a year of breakthrough and achieving your dreams, because when dreams start to come and God starts to put dreams in our heart, we're going to have to know how to fight through the things that come against that if we're ever going to get where we're going. Somebody say yes. Okay. So now we're talking about here. Here's the golden rule in all spiritual warfare. You always approach it from the place of an already won victory. Always, always. So there's a battle. You're dealing with demonic forces which may have been specifically sent from, and we'll look at it in the scripture, from Satan. He's got a bunch of guys working for him and he'll say, let's slow down Mazaloere. And he'll dispatch somebody to cause trouble, but more likely to get in her head. That's normally how it works. The biggest challenge you face is in your thinking. If you start to believe that, oh, I'm so sinful that God will never forgive me, well, you're going to live a defeated life, and there's nothing you can do until you change your thinking. So most of Satan's activity is sowing thoughts into your mind. But let's look at this already won victory, because we're talking about we're now in the kingdom of God. We're now connected with Jesus. Are you with me? We're part of the family of God. And I'm trying to explain things as clearly as I can, because some of the points we make are very important. So here's a picture out of the book of Colossians of what happened when Jesus died and hung on that cross, and then they stabbed him to make sure he was dead and all this water came out. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3, and I'm going to give you as many references as I can. This is not a Bible study per se. But in Ephesians 4 it says, he who ascended from the dead was also he who first descended. And it says, and in that place he took captivity captive. So the thing that captivates or holds us, Jesus grabbed that and took authority over it. There's another verse some of you might know, that he took the keys of hell and death. There were some keys of hell and death, unlocking that, and Satan had them. But Jesus didn't just die on a cross in the physical world. There's a spiritual thing going on at the same time. And he, the Bible says, went to hell in Ephesians chapter 4, and in that place now dealt with the devil. Because the devil had an authority over the earth, but Jesus was coming to reinforce God's authority. Now that's a whole, we could do an 8-week Bible college course, teaching course, and if you wanted to do it, you guys get together, pick a night, and I'll happily do it with you. No problem at all. But I need to move on for this. So this is an example, a snapshot of what happened. When he had disarmed rulers and authorities. Rulers and authorities are different levels of demonic forces. Ephesians 4 lists four of them. It's not like it's just kind of the devil out there. There are personalities. They look differently. Some bring cancer. Some bring distractions. Some are stronger than others. Some you can see sometimes. Some are lying spirits. So you can just see sometimes people and they just, you know, they can't tell the truth. There's just, they've got an, not possessed necessarily, but there's something on them that just keeps pointing them in this direction. All these rulers and authorities, he disarmed them. He took their authority away from them. Are you with me? And he made a public display of them. Well, it wasn't here on earth that he made a public display. We didn't see that. It was in hell. In hell, where he was, he made a public display, having triumphed over them through him. One version says through the cross. What the cross of Jesus did was forgive your sins. That's right. You'll know that story. But it also regained the authority of Jesus for all who would attach themselves to Jesus. Regain the authority of God for all people and brought us back to the place we were in the beginning, like Adam was, walking in the presence of God with no fear, with no sickness, dominating the world around him. Remember that God said to him, go, reproduce, and have dominion. One of the signs that Satan is at work is when God's people live defeated instead of in dominion. The more you get a hold of God's truth, the more dominion you live in. Dominion doesn't mean you walk around telling everybody what to do. Dominion means that the things that come against you, you take authority over. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. You're made to be like Him. You're made to reproduce in the earth. And you can do a lot more than you ever believed you can do. Amen. But because what you become will have everything to do with what you believe. So He made a public display of Satan. He triumphed over Satan. He defeated him. He disarmed all the demonic powers. And a massive shift happened in the spiritual world at that time. And some of you might know the story. We could tell a lot of stories about it. But one of them is that these men of God that had been buried in the ground before Jesus had died and dealt with this situation, this authority of Satan situation, there were many people that were living in hope for this day when what they believed in, which was that God was sending a Savior, not just to forgive their sins, but to reconnect them back with God and to make them the way they were always created to be, living with authority, living in strength, living in the glory of God, living in the presence of God, winning in life, ruling in life instead of being defeated in life. So the very same day when Jesus died, Friday afternoon, whatever afternoon it was, but in the afternoon, hello, Scarlet, and the whole sky went dark, and then it said, then all these graves all through Israel, all that area, opened up, and these people came out of their graves. There was a resurrection that went on. Why? Because they were not able to fully access the salvation of God before this price had been paid of the blood of Jesus. I hope I'm not getting too deep here. You with me still? Yeah, okay. So that's important to understand. And here we go now in Ephesians 1. I want you to see this as well, slightly different. This is Paul writing to the church. We're the church. It's the reason that most of my references will come out of the New Testament, because a lot of things shifted when Jesus died and rose from the dead. And so now Paul's writing to the church and he's explaining to us our situation. This is for us. And he says, now God's incomparably great power is the mighty strength that He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead. And what did He do then when He raised Him from the dead? He seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. That's a real place, heaven, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Every form of authority, demonic, natural, whatever, everything, now came under the authority of Jesus. That's why singing the name of Jesus, lifting up the name of Jesus, is so powerful and so important in our worship. We are new creations. We sing about nothing is impossible. It's all true. But nothing is impossible only because of what He did. Are you with me? And that's a finished fact. That's a done thing 2,000 years ago. Now notice, He exerted Him when He, I think I get a little, ooh, look, when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him. So He's now seated. He wasn't seated before, but now He's on a seat on the right hand of the Father, and all authority is given to Him. So where does that leave us? Well, I'm glad you asked. And God placed all things under His feet. Who's He? Jesus. And He appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body. We're the body of Jesus. He's the head of the church, but we're His arms, and we're His heart, and we're His hands, and you all have a different part, and you know that analogy. But we are now joined together as members of the body of Jesus. And all authority has been given to Jesus, and everything's been placed under His feet. Can you see that? There? Under His feet. So whatever part of the body you are, you might say, well, I'm the mouth. Definitely. Some of you looking at some of you, you could well be. I wouldn't want to say, you know, I've always wondered whether anyone considers themselves like the armpit of the body. I don't know really where to go with that, but you know. But you could be the hand, you could be the ear, you could be the leg running the body forward. You could be the toe. You could be the last cell of skin on the littlest toe, on the right foot, and still you're part of the body and everything is under Jesus' feet. So if they're under Jesus' feet and you're his body, they're under your feet. What's under your feet? All rule, authority, power, and dominion. Can you see what I'm saying? He's talking about a victory that he won. Now again, this is a topic we could spend a lot of time on. But notice again the last part. God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. There are some other verses there if you want to take a photo or whatever. There's some other scriptures that relate to that topic, okay? So now, what I want us to do in this last kind of 10 minutes we have together is to talk about how that works in real life. Okay, so you've got to understand this always. In dealing with, there is a devil. Not everything that comes against you is the devil, but sometimes it is. And the more familiar you get with God and the more you know him, the more you get to know what's the devil and what's not the devil. And we're in a growing process. So even for me, I've done this for a while, but there are still areas of my life where I think, well, I'm not sure if that's just me or if that's the devil. I'm just not sure. So then what that does is you get to talk to God and you pray and you say, God, would you show me? And he will show you and he will help you and you grow in your relationship with God and you just do that thing after thing. So there's always growth in our life and we move forward in our purposes and the plans that God has for us. But in terms of this authority, when we're dealing with the devil, we always come from a position of authority. We are in Christ, so we're in the one that has the authority. So we are the ones that can tell the devil what to do. He cannot tell us what to do. I'm talking about from a legal point of view. Spiritual legality, what actually is the case in the spiritual world. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here's a good one. What do you see in terms of how does that translate into our lives today? How do I do that? Well, one of the things that determines what kind of authority you're going to live in, whether you're going to win these wars, is Psalm 23, Proverbs 2, and I'm going to touch on it because I mentioned it last week, where God says, I've set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Remember that? If you were here last week, we spoke about that. God set a table for you. And if it's my table, there'll be eggs for starters. And there could be venison. There'll probably be my wife's vegetables. What she can't do with vegetables isn't worth knowing. She's just marvelous. I say that nearly every week. She's great. But he set a table in the presence of your enemies. And what we sometimes do, what Christians do, is they're not even aware of what's been set for them because they're looking at the enemies all the time. And God's saying, hey, yeah, I know there's enemies. There are always going to be enemies, but eat what I've set for you. Keep your eyes on the blessing of God, not on all the problems. Oh, that's going to go wrong. Oh, that's going to go wrong. And you can imagine how it is. What you look at has everything to do with it. It's not my topic entirely, but here... Now let's look at what we're warring against. Okay, this is maybe the best known passage. It's Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm not going to go into the armor because I'm going to do that next time. The armor of God. How many of you ever heard of the armor of God? Yeah. So the 6 or 7 pieces, depending on how you look at it. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. And most of what most people say, I don't think is very helpful, which is why I want to talk about it. Because if we're this mighty army with these Roman, it's a Roman picture of awesome soldiers, then how come so many Christians are living in relative defeat? What happened there? Yeah. Because we don't understand or we don't act, so we're going to go into that. But here we go. Let's go here, and we're closing on this passage. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Last part of my letter, great letter to the Ephesian churches, and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Put it on so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now remember, God's writing this to the church. It still applies today. If he said to the Christians then, guys, you've got to put armor on, then we need to also put armor. It's not written there so we could just cut it out and throw it out and say, well, that's probably not relevant anymore because we have psychiatry, you know. It is still relevant. For our struggle, now notice this, see, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. His schemes. He's always scheming. He doesn't have authority. He can't make you do anything. Let me tell you, no shadow of a doubt that if he could have killed you and taken you to hell, it would have happened a long time ago. Now, I know we have our challenges, but the fact that you're sitting here in clothing eating food means that he doesn't have half the authority he'd like you to think he has. Amen. However, there is, we need to understand still what our place is. Now look at this. Our struggle or our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So that's talking about four different kinds of spiritual authority. Four different levels. I mean, that's how Paul wrote it. What level of revelation Paul had into this, I don't know. But that's what he's talking about. All the versions write it in a similar way. There's four different things. Our struggle or our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. Remember that. So you've been married for 10 years and you decided together that you're really going to make this year your best year for God. And as a result, now some little irritants are happening that weren't there before. Now we're having arguments about money or the kids or whether we should live here or move there or the in-laws or whatever. Stuff just starts to happen. When actually, just when we decided we'd really push forward for God. Well, that's exactly how it works. Because the devil would love you above anything else to not push forward for God. And so one of these little guys, rulers, authorities, powers of this world, spiritual forces, they will attempt to dissuade you, schemes, thoughts in your head. Yeah, well, you know, there was a girl I knew at high school. This is exactly what the devil's like. He'll try anything. I know a guy, I haven't spoken to him for years now, who came to Europe as a minister in part because I was here. We were friends, we were part of the same church group, and I knew him well, and he played bass actually, and I knew his wife, they had three little kids. They came over to Europe, planted a church, and we would visit them pretty regularly and encourage them. We'd been here a little longer, so... And I was kind of, you know, anyway, it is what it is. And so I find out this is, and they'd been married probably 15 years. Their kids are in teenage years. And I had changed the connections that we'd had a little bit. So I was still aware of who they were, but we weren't in regular touch. And then I find out, oh, he's left. He's gone. He's left his wife. Just gone. The kids are at school in Europe and he's gone back to Australia. What's happened? Well, he's got on Facebook. He's discouraged. Devil's scheme. He's discouraged. I get it. You say, well, you just happily married all the time. No. Nobody is. Not unless you, you know, live in some kind of dream world. But see, that's why marriage is important, because you make a commitment, hell or high water, whatever, for richer, for poorer. For better, for worse. Well, it's kind of worse right now. Staying with my wife, it would be a lot better if I was free. You know, you might think that. Well, but you said for better, for worse. That's why that commitment's important. But if you trust in God, then he'll bring you through the tough times to better times. But when you're in the worst, that's when the schemes come. Ah, well, you know, crikey, he's balding. He's put on a lot of weight, you know. And I saw this guy that I was dating when I was at high school on Facebook, on the website, on the friends site, looking pretty okay, and he's single. And that's exactly how the devil will try schemes. And those thoughts come to everybody. It doesn't mean that you get. I get those thoughts. They come, but I don't act on them. But they come. Well, don't you think? And that's one of the reasons I'll tell Carrie every day, she's the best thing I ever met, because she is. But there's a schemer out there that'll try and convince you. Ridiculous liar. He's a liar. He couldn't lay straight in bed. But he'll try his schemes. Okay. So against these different levels, different authorities, different powers, four levels, therefore put on the armor of God. And the point I want to make here, and then we have to close here, is this word here that's translated in the NIV, struggle, our struggle. And the NASB is better. It says wrestle. There's the Greek word at the bottom. See it? Palai is how you say it. Looks like pale, but I did my Greek study last night. Palai. It's a wrestling bout. It's decided when the victor is able to hold down the prostrate opponent hard on the neck. That's what it is. You like that? All them men go, yeah. Go and watch a film like The Accountant or something like that. Or who's the Captain Phillips. Gladiator. But that's what it is. Now listen, so put on the full armor of God, for our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against the wife. You're not wrestling against the kids. I know challenges come. I know it seems like sometimes the boss at work or the aunt or the mother-in-law is like Satan impersonated. But that's not really your wrestle. We're talking about you can't control other people. You can't make somebody a nice person to be around. You're going to have wars around you, enemies around your life sometimes. But you can still eat a meal in the midst of your enemy. You just have to learn to cope with that situation. But what you can do is that in your own life, you do not have to live subject to those kinds of forces, that negativity, that kind of fear, that kind of doubt, that whole deal, that anything that Satan throws at you has been defeated. But notice now here the word wrestle, and then we'll close with that. Wrestle, we wrestle. You ever seen a wrestle? Greco-Roman wrestling. I'm tempted to get Larry and David out here to have a wrestle, but I don't think I'm going to have much luck. And I certainly don't want women wrestling out here. I don't know. But a wrestle is hand-to-hand combat. A wrestle is sometimes you have the upper hand and sometimes they have the upper hand and it's in your face and it's strenuous and you don't always know if you're going to win in an actual wrestle, and the victory is foot on the neck, prostrate, down there. But I had to wrestle him into that position. Now, what Christians must understand is the balance between the authority you've got and the wrestling that you do. That's very important to understand, because I'm talking about you fulfilling your dreams. See, mostly in my experience, we'll have people that believe in the authority that I've taught you very quickly about. We've got authority, so we just walk around in Jesus' name this and Jesus' name that. That doesn't work. And that's great up to a point. There's truth in it, but it's not the only truth. And you always want to just test your life and find out, well, how's that working for me? If a whole lot of the things that you commanded and you said, do this and do that, and I believe in that, you see, because the Bible says we can do that. But if all those things actually haven't changed, if nothing's working, then I'd ask myself, well, do I need to adjust something? Because we want results. Are you with me? We want to actually be what God called us to be. So you've got to balance that with the wrestling side. Now, the people that get too far on the wrestling side, it's like they're always, well, the devil, you know. I remember the testimony of one Christian woman. She said, well, the devil's been after me all the week. Bless his holy name. She was a Pentecostal woman. She got her conversation misplaced. The devil's been after me. Oh, the devil, oh, I've had a tough week with the devil this, the devil that. Well, and see, you go too far that way, and we're always wrestling, we're always struggling, we're always trying to obtain a victory, we're always trying to get this result, and that's too far the other way. We've got a victory already won. But the good fight of faith, and the Bible tells us, fight the good fight of faith. You have to fight. It's a good fight because if you'll fight, you'll win. But you have to wrestle. And sometimes wrestling doesn't mean we don't have authority. Wrestling means we've got to enforce the authority we've got. Can you see what I'm saying? This is true of every area of your life, your finances, your kids, your relationships, and the purpose that God has for your life. Some of us, you know, in this generation right now, this is the first generation that's growing right now that you'll probably be aware that is for sure going to be poorer than the generation before them. And there's some amount of disgruntlement amongst those guys about that, understandably. But the reaction for some, you know, so some will say, well, we'll never be able to buy our own house. And we'll never be able to do this and all that. And that's all, I understand that. But don't ever forget, if you're a believer, don't ever forget to put your faith in God first. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Put your trust in Him first. If you want to enough, you generally can. That's true. But what God wants us to do is wrestle some stuff out Because you can be the best parent in the world that you can, and kind and consistent and everything, and the kids just don't always turn out perfect. And you can be the most honest, decent person. And I'm still in touch with a guy. I did a funeral for a chap, never met him before, and his wife committed suicide, about 38, 40, and hung herself. And one of her friends found her. There's two children. So we talk now and then. And he hasn't come to church. I invite him from time to time. But he's been so thankful just that I've kind of been a friend. But, you know, he's a really nice guy, just a decent guy. Goes through all the things everybody would go through. What did I do wrong? Could I have done this better? Could I have done all that stuff? See, horrible things sometimes happen. But you have to understand that God's given you an authority, and that if you win the battle in the spiritual world first, the natural world will fall into line. Sometimes we focus too much on the natural world in the church. We're too, and then other people get too extreme the other way. But I hope I'm making sense. I think I'm done for this morning. Winning your war. There is a battle. There is a wrestle. The battle's been won by Jesus. We are the enforcers. So we go in after the enemy, mostly against your own life. Stuff, doubts that come. I mean, doubts are horrible. Fear is horrible, but it comes at you. Stand against it. Put on the armor. Understand the battle has been won, and understand there's a wrestle, but God's with you in the wrestle. Amen? Amen? We're going to close. Thank you very much. Oh, amen. All you ameners, all you Bible people, come on. Good. We're gonna close. Can we put on a little bit of something quiet there, or even just that sinful work, Ryan? Whatever's there is fine. Let's just close our eyes, turn our hands toward heaven, because I want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to touch your life, and I know that He's moving all the time and all those things. But let's just take a minute to focus on God and to remember the authority. And just there'll be things that have been said this morning. Sometimes things that I didn't even plan to say. Something that's triggered something in your heart where you think, yeah, that makes sense. Some of you are thinking, okay, that's why that hasn't worked. They're the things you want to write down. Little thoughts that sometimes come quickly and then they can disappear. Catch them. Meditate on them. Think about it. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us live in all the victory that you have already granted to us. Father, thank you that Jesus defeated Satan and all the horrible, divisive, disgusting stuff that he does. Thank you that he's been defeated. And now give us wisdom and sharpness to see in our own lives where he's trying to infiltrate, and to prepare for the future by taking our stand, by being ready to wrestle, match fit, in Jesus' name. And we trust you that you're going to guide us and help us this very week, in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say yes. Say thank you, Jesus. Give somebody a high five.